Okay, Hashem, Hashem. To understand Hilchot Chametz and Matzah, really Hilchot Chametz, we have to understand some background about the halachot that exist there. Torah tells us two halachot regarding chametz. There is one halacha that a person is not allowed to eat chametz, and not eating chametz means any amount of chametz a person is not allowed to eat during Pesach. Really, the issur of achilat chametz starts from Erev Pesach, from Chatzot of Erev Pesach onward. From then, it's asur for a person to eat chametz, except that Erev Pesach, from Chatzot till the night, a person who eats chametz is, although he did an avera, but he would not get chas v'shalom chiyuv karet. There is no chiyuv karet on achilat chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzot. The chiyuv karet on achilat chametz starts on Pesach itself. If a person eats a kazayit of chametz during Pesach, chas v'shalom, he will be over an isur karet of achilat chametz. However, even though the isur karet on achilat chametz is on a kazayit, any amount of chametz cannot be eaten. It's also to eat during Pesach. Even a mashu chametz, even a little bit of a crumb of a chametz, a little piece of Cheerios that a person finds, if he puts it in his mouth, he's over isur d'oraita of achilat chametz. Even though there is no chiyuv karet on it, but it's still asur to eat chametz. That is one isur, which is called isur achilat chametz on Pesach. Thank you so much. There is another isur, which is that not only a person is not allowed to eat chametz, a person is not allowed to have chametz in his possession during Pesach. A person cannot own any chametz. On that, the Torah gives us two isurim. One is called, well, they call it Bad Yera'eh. One is called Bad Yimatzeh. Lo Yera'eh lecha chametz, velo Yimatzeh lecha chametz lechol Yevulecha. So, not seeing chametz and not finding chametz. And the Gemara says, really, both are the same love, the same avera, except that they're coming to cover up all the different areas. That's why the Torah said it in two different ways. You should not see chametz in your possession, or chametz should not be seen in your possession, and chametz should not be found in your possession. So the Gemara says that not be seen and not be found is coming to cover all different areas that a person cannot have chametz in his possession. For example, even if his chametz is hidden, it still is asur. You know, a person packed up his chametz and put it in a safe and he locked the door. He's still over isur, because even though his chametz cannot be seen, it's packed away, but he's still over the isur of lo yimatzeh, it should not be found by you. Since it could be found, if a person looks for it, opens the door, he'll be able to find it, he'll be over isur of bad yimatzeh. Comes out basically that a person is not allowed to eat chametz, a person is not allowed to keep chametz in his possession. Then we have a mitzvah aseh. The mitzvah aseh is that on Erev Pesach, a person has a mitzvah to stop chametz in his possession. Tashmitu seor mivatechem. You have to destroy the chametz, get rid of the chametz in our possession. That's a mitzvah aseh. So we can't own chametz. Not only that, we have to actively have a mitzvah of actively going and destroying chametz. So how do we do this? So not eating chametz is simple. A person should not eat chametz. So make sure, just like you don't eat pork, you don't eat, things that are not kosher, you also make sure not to eat chametz during Pesach. That's simple. Question is, what does that mean? Not having chametz, or not having it in our possession, or destroying it, making it tashmitu, getting rid of it, in your possession. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that Tashmitu, if a person would be Mevatel Chametz. Mevatel means, we're going to see soon what it means. Mevatel Chametz, if a person is Mevatel Chametz,
he is basically getting rid of chametz in his possession. That means min haTorah, a person, all he has to do is to be mevatel chametz.
What does that mean, being mevatel chametz? So the Rambam says, what mevatel chametz means is that a person would consider chametz that is in his possession just like something that has no value, has no worth, has no importance to him. And to him, that chametz is like dust in his house. You know, you have some dust, you don't care. You don't care if it gets wiped away, somebody washes it, wipes it. You don't care if the dust is here, dust is there. I have no use for it. To me, it has no chashivut, has no importance. That's called being bematel chametz. So if I consider my chametz as if nothing, doesn't exist, if I could do that, if I could really do that and mean it, min haTorah am mekayem the mitzvah of not owning chametz, and therefore I'm okay. So how many people could do that? How many people who have 10 boxes of Cheerios in their storehouse, in their storage room, and 20 boxes of macaroni and other pasta, and 3 packages of bread in the freezer, all of a sudden they could decide, yeah, it's not worth anything. It's dust. People might say it, but do they really mean it? Very hard for people to say that I say it and I mean it. As a matter of fact, Chachamim say that if a person says, I mean it, we don't believe him. Because people have chashivut for what they own. Therefore, for a person to get up and say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything about my chametz. All I'm going to do is to say it's all batel and very nice, nice and good. You could say that, but it's not enough. Therefore, Chachamim came along and they said that it is not enough to be mevatel chametz in your heart like that. You have to actively get the chametz out of your possession. So we saw in the Rabbanan, even though we are mevatel chametz in our heart, we say that chametz is nothing, 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 nothing. Still, Chachamim said you have to actively be mevatel chametz. Now, but before I get into this, the Rabbanan aspect of actively destroying chametz, I should tell you that there are those who say that making chametz batel is not like the way Rambam says, that you have to just make it worthless in your heart, that is not important and you don't care and it's, you don't care about it. Rather, you have to make it hefker. You have to declare that that chametz is not yours anymore. A person is allowed, the same way a person is allowed to sell something that he has, a person is allowed to give something what he has as a gift, he could also make something that he has not his. He will say, this thing that I have is hefker. Hefker doesn't mean that I sold it, doesn't mean I gave it to you. It means it's not mine anymore. Every time we have an item, an object, that item has a connection to an owner. When I sell something to you, two things take place. I make myself detached from that thing, and you create a connection to that thing. So I give it up, you make a kinyan. Say, if I want to sell you this table, right? I come and I sell it to you. It's not enough that I say I'm selling it to you. You have to make a kinyan on it. You have to bring it into your possession. When I give you a gift, I say, here's a gift for you. So I gave it up. Right? But you need to make a kinyan on it. So you have to do an act of kinyan to show that now you're connected to it. Now you're the owner of it. When you make something hefker, you only do the half of it. You say, this is not mine, this is hefker. Hefker means I'm disconnected. Nobody else is connected to it. Whoever comes first and grabs it, makes a kinyan on it, will be connected. So there are those who say that min haTorah, bitul chametz, when we say you have to make chametz batel in your heart, it's not that just you have to consider it that it's worthless. You have to disconnect yourself from that chametz. That means that you have to say, it is healthcare, not mine. Not mine.
Where is it? Where is it?
Huh?
Where is it putting it?
So generally, when a person makes something hefker, he has to make it accessible to people. Because what kind of a hefker is this if nobody can come and take it away? So he has to make it accessible to people. Not only that, he has to let people know that it's hefker. If people don't know it's hefker, nobody's going to come and take it. So what kind of a hefker is this? So the Rambam says that by chametz, it doesn't have to have all these criteria. I'm not going to get into the details of why. Maybe we'll get a little bit later to it. But he says, you know, as long as you really mean to make it hefker, even if it doesn't have all the halachot of making something hefker, it's still considered hefker. That's how the Rambam does it. Okay, that's why, by the way, when we say the nusach of bitul chametz, kol chamira deika birshuti de chazite udla chazite de biarte udla biarte, right? Any chametz that's in my possession, whether I've seen it or I didn't see it or it was mevatel or not, indeed, whether I destroyed it or not, livtil, it should become batel, velehave kafra daro, and it should be like the dust of earth. That's like the Rambam. It should become batel. It should be worthless. It should be not important to me. And it will be like the dust of earth. Rav Ovadia says that we say this three times because we want to make sure that we mean it. Every time you want to make sure you mean something, you say it three times. That's why we're Torah Nedarim, we say, Mutarim lachem, mutarim lachem, mutarim lachem. One time is enough. Why would you say three times? To say that we mean it. If in case the first time I didn't have in mind fully, I mean it. Right? So every time we want to do something right, we do it three times just to make sure it's done right. That's why the ladies who go to mikveh, they dip, even though one time is enough, the minhag is that they dip three times. In case the first time wasn't, you know, it wasn't so good, or something, you know, they closed their eyes too tight, or their lips too tight, or whatever, they dip three times just to make sure it's done. So anything that we want to make sure is done right, we do it three times. So here also, we want to make sure that the bitul chametz is done right. We say three times. The third time, Rav Ovadia says, you should include the word hefker in saying it. So the first time you say, liftil, it should be batel, v'liavik half of the arrow, should be like the dust of the earth. The second time you say the same thing. The third time you say, liftil, v'liavik hefker, half of the arrow. You add the word hefker in order to include the shittot of other poskim who say you have to be mafkir. So you want to cover all the areas, all the...
It's dust. It's non-recognizable. Like, they're two separate things. Either you have... you can't say this bracha when you have a box of Cheerios that's full and...
Why not?
Because it's not dust.
As far as you're concerned... I know, but as far as you're concerned, does it have any value to you? Can you do anything about it? As soon as Pesach comes... As soon as Pesach comes, it becomes Asur Bahana, which means you cannot have any benefit from it. To you, has no monetary value, has no physical value, has no practical value.
But you know it's there.
It's there, but it's not mine. Not mine. Because I can't use it. So what if it's there? If I have a box of Cheerios in the middle of the street.
Pesach?
Huh?
What happens after Pesach? After Pesach.
Right now it's Asur. So once I can't deal with it right now, this is what the Rambam says. Since the Torah makes it worthless to you, makes it unusable to you, makes it Asur Bahana'a, right? So the Torah is doing the job for you anyway. So all you have to say is that I'm mafkiret, which means I'm comfortable with what the Torah does. The Torah does it for you. Takes it out of your possession. Once the Torah makes it Asur Bahana, so you have no connection to it anyway. So Mimela, all the halachot of Hefker doesn't really have to apply to it. Okay, so therefore, we say three times and we say Hefker to get rid of. Now, Chachamim came along, as I said before, and they said that, you know, you could say it from today till tomorrow, but chances are very high that you don't mean it. You don't mean this Hefker. When you have so much chametz in your pantry, in your storage, and you say it's chametz, it's batel. You know, imagine several markets, you know, Mr. Boom will get up at a Pesach and says, call chametz that's in several market, they have it lifted, kafra that will be dust of earth. He means it. You talk about thousands of dollars. So Chachamim said, it's not enough. Even though min haTorah, if you really mean it, if Hashem could say, you meant it, it would work, but we don't believe you. Hashem could believe you. We don't believe you. Since we don't believe you, we require you to do something more than making a sukkah. So what do you do? So Chachamim came along and they said, you have to actively get rid of the chametz that is in your possession. How do you do it? You could do it two ways. You could either sell it, right, or destroy it. Selling it before Pesach, you would sell it, no problem. Destroying it are different ways. The best way of destroying chametz is
eating it,
right? Then you eat it, you burn it in your stomach, no problem, right? It turns into energy. That's the best way of being mevatel chametz. That's why they say that it comes before Pesach. Every time you eat chametz, not the chametz that you eat anyway, but you know all the chametz that you have from Shlach Manos, right? And you eat it, you say L'shem mitzvah biur chametz, right? You mevatel chametz in your stomach like that. That's the best way of getting rid of your chametz. If you can't eat it or feed it to your animals, then you need to destroy it, right? The Gemara, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says the best way of destroying it is burning it, but you don't really have to do that. You could somehow destroy it. The Gemara says if a person powders it, makes it into powder, and throws it into the wind, right? Which means it gets all over it. Nobody has any access to it. Or he makes it into crumbs and throws it into the water that it dissolves and it's gone. Right? So it's gone. For all practical purposes, it doesn't exist anymore. That is called being mevatel. So either sell it, eat it, or destroy it. That's what you need to do. You cannot keep chametz in your possession and say, I'm being mevatel, I'm making a hefker. That we don't believe you for that. So therefore came along Chachamim, and they established a mitzvah called mitzvah of bedikat chametz. Bedikat chametz is that a person should go around his house and find any chametz that might be there and get rid of it. So there is a machlokes rishonim why we do bedikat chametz. Why Chachamim established bedikat chametz? La halacha, we hold both reasons to be true. Rashi says the reason you need to do bedikat chametz is exactly what I told you. You need to go around, find the chametz, get rid of it, in order that a person should not be over the badiroi bali matzeh. A person should not be over the isur of owning chametz in his possession. The shiur of not owning chametz is any amount. If it's chashuv to you, is any amount. But Gemara says usually what's chashuv to a person is a kazayit. Less than a kazayit, a person doesn't care about. Right? So if you have crumbs here and there, right?
Especially whenever you have a kiss, on the kiss they sit down, it's all over.
Right. Right. Let's say there are crumbs, you know, in your carpet of your car, or here and there. The Gemara says, a person is automatically mevatel. He doesn't care. The Gemara says, however, if the amount of chametz that's in one place is one kazait, that's already chashuv enough of an amount of chametz, a person is not mevatel. Right? So therefore you have to get rid of it. But crumbs that are not important, then when you say, I'm mevatel it, we believe you, because who cares about crumbs? You know, you have it little Cheerios that's stuck under the where the seat of your minivan fits in, into the that clicks in. There's a Cheerios right there, or the pizza pretzel right there. Right? I mean, I could bring some stuff and pull it out, but it's down there. Do I care about that little piece of Cheerios? No. Is there any access? Can anybody come and eat it by mistake? No, down there. Nobody can stick their finger in to get it. Okay. You could see it, no problem. Why? Because not yours. Oh, it is mine. But you are mevatel it. Really? You believe me? Of course I believe you. Who is not mevatel a little piece of pretzels? It's not chashuv. What are you going to do with it? So you don't care about it. And that we believe you. So any amount, anything that's less than chametz, pirurei chametz they call it, powders of chametz, pieces of chametz, less than kezai, a person is mevatel. Chachamim came along and they said that maybe you have some chashuv chametz, maybe your child got a nice box of cookies for Shlach Manot, and he or she wanted to hide it from his brother or sister, so nobody will eat it.
she went and hid it somewhere under the bed, and you don't know about it, and he forgot about it, and everybody forgot about it, and babayla. You're not going to be a whole nice box of cookies. So a person will be over by the other body matzah. So Rashi says you should go around and look for it and get rid of it. That's what Rashi explains, mitzvah bedikat chametz. Go around, make sure there is no chametz in your possession that is unaccounted for. That you know where every chametz is and get rid of it. Tosafot says that cannot be the only reason, because, you know, min haTorah, if a person really means to be mevatel chametz, he really meant it. So min haTorah, he has no more obligation, he got rid of it. So Tosafot says, even if you meant it, even if you really meant to be mevatel your chametz, you still have to go and look for it. Why? Because you might come to eat it. The little child of yours, middle of Pesach, he might find that package of cookies and start eating it. Or for that matter, you might be going around and busy doing your thing on Chol HaMoed, looking for something, right, in your storage room. And as you're going around, you see the open package of pretzels, and absent-mindedly, you put a few of them in your mouth. That's what it says, because chametz is different than all the other isurim. A person, when it comes to other isurim, won't eat it, because the whole year, he is mindful not to eat it. Chametz is our friend, right? The whole year we're eating it, we're enjoying it. All of a sudden, for a week, a person doesn't want to eat it, he might not notice, and he'll put something in his mouth. Therefore, Tosafot says that even if you're mevatel the chametz and you meant it, you still have to go and actively get rid of it, so you're not come to eat it.
What's the purpose of Rashi? Rashi says you have to go look for it, find it.
Because there might be a gerushka yafa, something that is chashuv, and you don't mean to be mevatel.
So Rashi is by
Rabbi Masel. That's right. Rashi's gezera, in Rashi's understanding, the bedikat chametz is a gezera because of Bari Rabbi Bari Masel. According to Tosfot, the takana of bedikat chametz is a gezera atu achilat chametz. Right? We said there are two isurim on chametz, eating it and owning it. Their machloket is the real reason behind bedikat chametz. Is it a prevention on owning it, or is it prevention on eating it? That's the machloket. Lemais to be a machmir on both and makes an afkamina. We're going to see soon.
If there's a mitzvah to do tashbitu, so
what
should
it be
only for
Tashbitu?
You're finding it destroyed.
What
should it be for the
Lotas
and not for the
Asa? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. In other words, we have to get rid of it. You have a Mitzvah Asa and Lotas on the owning of the house. So what is an Afkamina? Comes out a very interesting Afkamina. What happens if I have if I know I cleaned up my whole house? The whole house. And I have one Cheerios that fell down and rolled right under. I cleaned up the whole house. Everything. Everything is clean. I even did bedikat chametz. I went around, I checked, everything is fine. I have one Cheerios that fell down from under my hand and it rolled under the sofa. A little Cheerios. That's it. A little Cheerios fell down and rolled under the sofa. A little pretzel, less than a kazai, fell out of, my child says, oh, my pretzel fell, and it rolled under something, under the sofa, under the table. So if I were to ask Rashi, should I get rid of it? Should I do bedikat chametz? And the child says, I don't know where it went. I was sitting in the living room, and I was eating a Cheerios, my Cheerios, one Cheerio fell off my hand and it rolled somewhere. I don't know where it went. So if you ask Rashi, should I look for it? Rashi will tell you no. What do you have to look for it? A little Cheerio is less than kezai. It's not chashuv to you. Right? You just say, kol chamira deika birshuti should become batel. You for sure mean it. There's nobody in the world who doesn't mean Bitul when he says, and a little Cheerios. That's right. Don't worry about it. You don't have to bother yourself. Start getting a candle or a flashlight. Start looking again and moving everything around. Don't worry. You don't have to do anything. Just say, kol chamira, you mevatel it, you're good. Tosafot says, no. What happens if your kid is crawling around or playing around hide and seek with his siblings, with his friends during Pesach, and he goes behind the sofa and he sees the Cheerios and puts it in his mouth? He'll eat it. It's accessible. It's somewhere, we don't know where it is, but it's definitely accessible. And therefore, you have a chiyuv to go around and find the chametz to destroy it, because you might come and eat it. So according to Tosafot, in this situation, you have to clean it, so therefore we'll tell the guy, go look for it.
But when you're doing bidikat chametz at a specific time, so don't, or shouldn't you just look for it when you're doing bidikat chametz? So in other words, like a week before, are you checking constantly every day? Or just
a bidikat chametz? Right. But a week before it's brought down that a person should make sure, after Purim, from Purim and on, a person should make sure not to do anything that would make chametz stick to something, or you'll forget it.
So you eat flat pita instead of...
Not that bad. But, you know, when you go to a kiddush and you want to take a piece of cake for your wife, make sure you don't put it in your pocket, unwrapped. Make sure you put it into your pocket with three napkins so no crumbs would get into your pocket. Now, even though there's an inyan when you go to a kiddush to take something for your wife, you know, to as a token of shalom bayit, but doesn't mean that a person should walk away with the whole plate. So that's something to keep in mind. Okay, people sometimes they do Hidur mitzvah when it comes to this Indian, right? They pack your whole plate and take it. The Indian is only just to take something as a token of appreciation that I had you in mind. I didn't forget about you. Okay, anyway. So, right. So that is why that a person in that situation has to clean it. What happens if that Cheerio fell down and rolled right by the cabinet? Between the two cabinets. You could see it. It's still there. But it's now full of dust. You know, between the cabinets, there's dust and dirt and something, you know, in that crack. And that Cheerio rolled and went right into that dust. You saw where it went. Halakha is, you don't have to do anything about it. Why? According to Rashi, it's a little bit. It's a little bit. You're going to remember it. According to Tosafot, what? You're going to eat that? You're not going to eat it.
The kid might eat it.
The kid is not going to eat it.
About 2-year-old, 1-year-old.
You can't get to it. You want to pull it out. Nobody's going to eat the dusty, dirty, icky something that's there. So therefore, in that situation, you don't really have to worry about it. You don't have to turn your kitchen upside down to get that piece of Cheerios out. That, you have nothing to worry about. So if you have a situation that the chametz is not chashuv, which is just a little bit, and there's no chance that a person will come to eat it, in that situation, you don't have to look for it to get rid of it.
Why is this only about eating? I mean, isn't chametz tuma?
Tuma? No, it's not tuma.
No, it's not
tuma. No, it's not tuma. You have to keep away from it, because if you don't keep away from it, you might come and put it in your mouth. But there's nothing wrong with it. The only reason we don't touch chametz is because we might eat it. Right? No sparks are going to fly if you touch it.
Flour.
Is flour chametz? Flour, Rabbi Heinemann says, it's a stomach chametz. Right, so it's like a stomach chametz, because they add a little water from the top to make sure it shouldn't get too dusty, for the dust to settle. So he says it has a little bit of chametz mixed into it. Majority of it is not chametz. A person should get rid of it.
And another person.
Get rid of it means selling it or eating it or whatever we say, right?
Another thing, cute project hanging on the wall.
Okay, good. I'm gonna get to that not today, but next time. Different types of chametz. We'll get to that, you know. Depends how that project is made. Depends, you know. They make projects out of Cheerios. They make necklace out of Cheerios. That's chametz. And the macaroni. Those are chametz. Question is, how about if they made some dough and now the dough is all dried up? Then we'll talk about that. Becomes a little more discussion. Okay, so therefore, chachamim require the person to do bidikat chametz to either make sure that he will not have anything that he will be over bari yirayi bari matzeh, or to make sure that you won't come to eat it. What is the mitzvah bedikat chametz? The mitzvah bedikat chametz is, how Gemara says, that a person should go around his house, every corner, every crack, with candle, the night of 14th. Why the night of 14th? Because earlier than that, you still have chametz around the house. It has been the night of 14th, close to the time of bitul chametz. This way you do bedikah, and then you mevatel, and you're done. Why does it have to be at night?
Better to see.
Well, before we say why does it have to be at night, we have to say why do you have to use a candle? You have to use a candle, or for that matter, a flashlight. And the reason you need to use a candle or flashlight is because it's the light is more focused in where you want to see. And you could also insert it inside the cracks. You know, you can't always see in the cracks and the corners, you know, under this and under that. So you need to have something that's portable, that you could go around looking for. Gemara says that since the light of the candle or flashlight, you want to talk about candle, shines more brightly at night, Chachamim made a takana that the bedikah should take place at night. That means if a person on the day of 13th would take a flashlight and goes around the house and do bedikah, I don't have time tonight. I'm too tired tonight. I'm working tonight. So in the morning of 13th, he goes around. That's bedikah this time of the day. He goes around. It doesn't count. He's going to have to do it all over again tonight. Not tonight. The night of 14th. Right?
You're allowed to use a flashlight.
You're allowed to use a flashlight, yes.
But the candle has
to be. It's a machloket, but the poskim, I mean, you could check with your rav what he holds, but Rav Ovadia and others who hold that you are allowed to use a flashlight. So, because the light of the flashlight is also focused, just like a candle.
Make a bracha on it?
You make a bracha on it. It's better to, I think Kabbalah is an Indian to use a candle. So it's better that a person should start his bedikat chametz with a candle and make a bracha and go with the candle around some areas of the house. That's easy. But afterwards, you know, inside the closet, I don't think your wife will be very happy to use the candle going through the closet with all her dresses hanging down, right? Especially with the candle that could drip on her dresses and get it messed up. Right? When it comes to those areas, then you could use a flashlight, which is fine. So Chachamim made a takana that a person should go and do bedikat chametz the night of 14th. So there's a specific hakpada on the night, and there's a specific hakpada on the 14th. If a person cannot do it on the night of 14th, he's going out of town. So Chachamim said in that situation, you could do the night before, as long as in the night. But you don't make a bracha. Because the bracha you only make on the night of the 14th. That is the man of the mitzvah. So let's say somebody's going out of town 2 days before Pesach, and they want to do bedikat chametz, they do it without bracha, at night. What happens if a person forgot to do it on the night of 14th, or he got busy, his wife went to labor, and he had to spend the whole night in the hospital with his wife, and he couldn't do bedikat chametz the night of the 14th. Now we say, you could do it during the day. Because even though we say lechat techila should be at night, that's only when the nights are available. Now that the night of 14th is gone, and there is no more night available, tonight is already Pesach, you can look for chametz. You have to look for your afikoman. You don't have time for your chametz. You have to look for your afikoman. So in that situation, you are required, not only allowed to, but required to do bedikat chametz during the day. That's the only with the bracha. With the bracha on the day of erev Pesach, if a person forgot to do it the night before, he would do bedikat chametz with the bracha during the day. Right? Gemara says that Shulchan Aruch brings. Now what happens if a person got busy and he couldn't do it even on Erev Pesach? He should do it on Pesach. Even on Pesach, he should go around in order to make sure to get rid of it, or he shouldn't come to eat it. Right? So whatever chametz he finds, he burns it, unless he sold it. We're going to talk about selling chametz later on. Okay, so this is how the mitzvah bedikat chametz is done. The mitzvah bedikat chametz applies to any area that chametz could enter. That means anywhere in the house that there is a possibility that chametz went in there, a person needs to do bitiyat chametz. When you have children, that includes everything. Everywhere. Because the kids walk around with their sandwiches, with their, you know, snacks, everywhere in the house. The higher places in the house that a person can't reach usually, let's say you have a ledge all the way on top, or on top of your bookshelves, that you usually don't keep anything on top, you don't have to worry about chametz up there because nobody puts any chametz there. But if on top of your bookshelf sometimes you use to store different things, so then you have to check. Maybe somebody put a box of cookies there by mistake and they forgot and left it there.
Rabbi, isn't dust chametz?
Dust is not chametz. Chametz could be dust, but dust is not chametz. Right, so anywhere the only area that a person does not have to really check for chametz is his backyard. Because the Shulchan Aruch says an area that is open to animals that they could come and they eat out the chametz, you don't have to worry about it. So you don't have to go to your backyard and look for the chametz, right? Because if there was there, the birds and squirrels and whatnot will come and eat it. That's the only area that doesn't require bedikat chametz. Every other area, a person needs to do bedikat chametz. He has a store, in the store. He has an office, in the office. He has a car, in the car. Whatever area that he has, a person is required to do bedikat chametz at night with a flashlight. The only area that a person is allowed to do bedikat chametz without a candle or flashlight is right by the window. A place that the daylight directly shines on it. In that situation, you could do bedikat chametz there without even using a candle.
But you're at night.
I understand. I'm just saying during the day. Okay. Right? So this makes a very interesting nafkamina that I would like to tell you about it. It's important that you should know it earlier than later. This way you know what's going on. The halacha is that a person has to do bedikat chametz. Your wife, maybe you should do it, but if you can't do it, maybe your wife will do you a favor and do it. She will want to clean up your room from chametz. We do cleaning before Pesach. The reason we do cleaning is not because it's a spring cleaning and we want to get rid of all the dust, but rather we want to get rid of chametz. So she comes and she moves all the beds to the side, right? If she can, otherwise you do it, right? You pick up the mattress, move the bed, you vacuum under it. Now you want to put the beds back. You put the beds back. 3 days before Pesach, 4 days, a week, 2 weeks before Pesach, you do that. Comes the night of bedikat chametz. You need to check under that bed. How do you check under the bed? You move it again? How do you move it? You're going to move all the beds around again? You're going to make a mess in her house, Erev Pesach? She will scream at you. She went through the closet. She took out all the boxes in the closet. Right? Your bedroom closet. The boxes on the floor. There's somewhere. She took out and she vacuumed and cleaned everything nice and good. She put the boxes back. Comes in either bedikat chametz, you need to do bedikah. We're going to pull out all the boxes. So how do you do it? She pulled out the box, you have to check under it. Oh, she cleaned. So the Shulchan Aruch says, even if a person cleans a room, right? Even if a person hamechabed chadaro biyud gimel benisan, a person who sweeps his room, even on the 13th of Nisan, a day before Erev Pesach, ומחבל לבדוק החמץ, and as he's cleaning, he's making sure there is no חמץ around, ונזהר שלא להכניס שם עוד חמץ, and he's careful not to bring any more חמץ into that room, אף על פי כן, still, צריך לבדוק בליל י"ד. He still has to take a flashlight, and goes around and do בדיקת חמץ in that area. That means, if your wife went through her closet, and took out all the boxes, and she vacuumed carefully, nicely, and then she put the boxes back. And she put a sign on the closet, no chametz allowed. Comes the night of Pesach, Erev Pesach, You take your candle or flashlight, you go into a closet, you have to pull out all those boxes, and again, and check under it. How much does it take, how much time does it take for you, night of Pesach, to go through every closet and pull out all the boxes, and to go through every room and move all the beds, and do bedikat chametz and put them back? And everything that your wife ever moved during the time that she was cleaning the house, you're going to have to move everything again night of Erev Pesach. She will scream at you. You're making a mess in the house. So what do you do? So therefore it's brought down. So that's what I'm telling you to you earlier. This way you all. Huh?
Get a new one.
Get a new house is easier. Okay. So the way, so what you could do is like this. There are two things that the poskim recommend. Any area that gets cleaned nowadays, before Pesach, right? The boxes that are pulled out of the closet, and she cleans the closet. What she should do, lechatechila, is not to put the boxes back and wait till the night. As soon as it's dark, she or you, doesn't matter, take a flashlight and do a bedikat chametz. Even though it's not the night of 14th. You do a bedikat chametz in that area, right? Without a bracha. You just, with a flashlight, you look around, and then you could put the boxes back. If you do that beforehand, and then you put up a sign, no chametz allowed, night of Erev Pesach, you don't have to pull it out anymore. Because once that bedikah is done in that room, and you stored whatever that you need to store, Shulchan Aruch has a halacha, in that situation, you don't have to do bedikat chametz. Right? Because that's called like a storage area. Storage area, once you did bedikat chametz under it, before you put the stuff back, anytime before Erev Pesach, you don't have to do bedikat chametz there anymore, night of Erev Pesach. Bedikah has to be at night. Generally, bedikah always has to be at night because during the day, we do not consider the bedikah a good bedikah unless it's by the window. So when it comes to your room and your bed is in the middle of the room and then she pushed or you pushed the bed aside and you vacuumed during the day, you don't have to wait for the night to put the bed back. If you have it near the window and you turn off the light from the window shines directly on the floor where the bed is, you could do bedikat chametz with that light. Open the shade, right? Let the light come directly in. You could do bedikat chametz on today, this Sunday, when you move those beds. You do bedikat chametz under the bed with the direct light. If the direct light comes on it, it doesn't have to be direct sunlight. Even now, in this room, turn off the lights, pull up the shades. There is enough light shining in that area, in that middle area, where you guys are sitting over there, in this middle, right? You push the beds aside, you have enough light coming in. You do bedikat chametz like that, make sure there's no chametz left, then you put the beds back, you do not have to do bedikat chametz under those beds. So it's a good idea that when you, when she or you move anything to clean under it, before you put it back, do bedikat chametz. If it is somewhere that has a daylight shining directly on it, you could do bedikat chametz there in the day, with the daylight. But if it is somewhere that is more dark, like the corner over here, that corner, the light doesn't reach there well, behind the bima over here, then, or let's say you move the bima and you want to push it back, under it, you have to do bedikat chametz with a candle at night, or a flashlight at night. And then you put the boxes back. So you tell your wife every closet that she wants to clean, she could clean, but she should keep the stuff out. You come home at night, you do bedikat chametz quickly, without a bracha, and then you put all the boxes back for her. She did enough already. She could take a break. You put the boxes
during
back.
During the day, but at night.
At night. With the flashlight, you do bedikat chametz like that, you put it back. This way, the night of bedikat chametz, you don't have to go through all those corners that the stuff are stacked up with.
Do the light there than the dorsal light or light
orange? Yeah, good
question. Yeah, we'll talk about lighting. A different time, Mr. Hashem. Okay, Mr. Hashem, we'll continue to Mr. Hashem. But for any practical shaylas, please contact your...